In this video, we meet Matt Watson, a rising property investor earning thousands every single month through rent-to-rent and management contracts.
So I watched a few videos on YouTube about Samuel, about the rent-to-rent, and I drove down to Bournemouth in my van, booked a load of viewings in, just absolutely bombed on the viewings. I just sat on the beach thinking, oh my God, what a waste.
So now you're like a rent-to-rent king.
With 8 properties under his belt, including 5 rent-to-rents, Matt shares how he built his property portfolio from scratch, how he scaled his income and overcame the challenges and setbacks that come.
The first deal was the hardest one.
How long were you trying?
Probably about 4 months. I used to say to landlords, like, how come you didn't go with me? They just said, there's another guy, another company who's doing the exact same thing as you, and they got 3-4 units. But once I set that property up, I actually secured my second one like 2 weeks later. The 5 rent-to-rents, anything from 6 to 8 grand a month profit. I had 3 broken boilers in the space of a month.
What's your worst guest?
Probably a guest not leaving. So you have to just give a knock on the door and just usher them out at the door and tell them they got to go.
He talks about staging properties, raising finance, and his long-term goals for financial freedom. It's a brilliant insight into what it takes to succeed in property. Enjoy and be sure to subscribe for future property success stories.
And so tell me about staging. So what does that entail?
Carnage.
As soon as you get the keys, the clock starts ticking and you need to basically work 24 hours a day to get that property live.
Coming to events like this, if you've got no cash, you can always raise finance. There's teenagers raising hundreds of £1,000. The end goal for me is just own properties and just have as much freedom as I can.
What are the top 3 tips you'd give a new property entrepreneur? I'm your host, Patricia, and today we're sitting with Matt Watson. Nice to see you, Matt.
And yourself.
Welcome. All right. Well, let's get right into it, shall we? You've got lots of success under your belt already. You joined the Academy a couple of years ago. What were you doing before the Academy?
Before the Academy, I was a bit sporadic. I started off as an electrical apprentice, got a bit fed up of that, and I moved to a barrister chambers. Quite luckily, I don't know how I managed to secure that. Eventually got fed up of that as well. And joined back as an apprentice, as an electrician, and just had enough of working on site, and just made the plunge and just went all in on property.
And so what brought you into property though? Like what was it that attracted you?
It was probably the freedom. I remember I used to work in people's houses as an apprentice and see them just on Monday to Friday, just kicking their feet up, just chilling. It's like got your head like sort of scratching, like there's other jobs out there where you can do something similar. So I gathered like property was the one. I've also had family members as well, heavily in property, generation before
right.
me. So sort of carry on the baton really.
Right. So your dad was a property investor?
Yeah. Old fashioned buy to let through the plummet back in the day.
Oh, how many properties did your dad have?
I think he had around 15 properties,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's
smashed
a lot.
It.
Wow. And what about his parents, were they into property as
no,
well?
No, not at all. I think he actually bought their house they lived in as a child.
Oh, wow.
So,
I love that.
I think that was a great moment for him.
Yeah. And then tragically, he passed away.
Yeah, he passed away in 2016. So I was about 15, 16 at the time.
He must have been so young.
Yeah, I think just before 50, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, 49.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now my time to fly the flag.
Fly the flag,
yeah,
yes.
Carry on.
Very good. The torch goes on, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And so you inherited one of his properties?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I know some people say it's fortunately, but I got it a bit early than expected, but it's sort of just capitalizing now and just going forward.
Great. Okay. So then you start into property.
Mm.
And so you had tried to do rent to rent before doing any education.
Yes.
Like a cowboy.
proper cowboy.
So tell me what that was like.
So I watched a few videos on YouTube about Samuel, about the rent to rent. And I took a day off work, drove down to Bournemouth in my van. Because I thought, if I'm going to stay in an Airbnb in the UK, where would it be? And Bournemouth's like Benidorm or Costa del Sol or Bahamas or whatever you want to say it is. So I drove down there, which was about 2.5 hours, booked a load of viewings in, and just absolutely bombed on the viewings.
What happened?
Yeah, I didn't even make it through the front door on one of them and just got shut down. And I just sat there and thought, oh, Christ.
What was your pitch? Tell me what you used to say.
I can't actually remember, to be honest with you. I think I was just winging it. Just didn't really think too much about it. I think soon as I mentioned the company let sometimes, I don't think if I portrayed it well enough on the phones before. Mm-hmm. And I think I just sat on the beach thinking, oh my God, what a waste.
Sat on the beach
I've got another like 2.5 to drive home, like thinking, wow, this is impossible.
Oh, but one day of trying,
that's it.
Then you were like, I guess, then you thought, okay, I got to get educated, right?
Mm. Well, I went
that's
to
what
the,
I thought too.
The Pound Crash Course.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there was going to be like an upsell to the academy. I just knew straight away that was just, before I even walked through that door, I knew I was going to sign up for it.
Me too. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt going into the crash.
Sort of mentality. Like I just wanted to get out of my job. Just wanted freedom, just everything that sort of comes with it. I just knew straight away it's got to do it.
What was the crash course like?
It was eye-opening. It was intense as well. You learn a lot of things, and the people there as well. You're all there for the same reason and want the same goal. It's quite overwhelming. But then you go to the 4-day events and the pound crash course was that walk in the park. So as everyone knows, the 4-day events just incredible.
Man.
Yeah,
it's
you can't even
energy.
Sleep the same night. You're so charged up with all this like adrenaline and thoughts and motivation, you can't sleep and you got to get up early the next day and do it all again.
And you know, it's so funny when I check in with people the week after who've signed up for the academy after the onboarding, and I'm like, how's it going? How are you feeling? They're like, I went home and I slept for 12 hours because so exhausted.
You crash out at the end. But everyone even says that either the first, second, third day, they can't sleep either. Everyone says the exact same thing. So not everyone's getting a wink of sleep when they're at the 4-day events.
I know. And it's so fun, right? Because you're just like getting to know people and you're all on the same journey. You're all making phone calls and feeling nervous.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so now you're like a rent-to-rent king.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
I've got 5 at the moment, which are doing very well. I like to sort of get bigger properties, like 3 beds plus, but anything from a 3-bed to a 5-bedroom. Mm-hmm. I'd say my main portion of clients, we get a lot of insurance stays. So it's people who've got like fires, floods, or damages to their house, need to get out, which are sort of long-term bookings. They can stay.
That is so good. What a valuable service you're providing, right? Because those poor families,
and
they need a nice, comfortable, clean house. They need the kitchen and the living room and the bedrooms and the parking. And that's what you're able to provide to them. So that's so good. How do you connect with insurance companies?
They normally get in touch direct through my website.
Okay.
And I think quite a lot of them, they share the same database. So once you've sort of got in or worked with one before, that could be through an OTA, they sort of share your sort of business around and they just get in touch again. But a lot of the families, a lot of the times they already in like an Airbnb property, but it's so crap. They want to get out and they're like in desperate need. They're just saying like, this don't work. It's dirty. There's nothing there. Horrible. So like quite a few times they come to me from that in desperate need because they want to get out their current accommodation.
Well, that's great because then you're their savior.
And that's it. So and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I get a lot of contractors as well. Not just the building trades, get a lot of overseas. They could be IT people, all sorts, all walks of life, environmental agencies. And I've had ballet dancers before from New York, all sorts of people. Also get a lot of expats who have either sold their house from Australia, America, or Canada, and they're moving back over here. So they've got to find somewhere for 2-3 months while they purchase their own property.
Yeah.
Get quite a lot of that as well.
Nice. Okay, so how did you get your first deal? Because that's always the hardest, right?
Yeah, the first deal was the hardest one, I'd say.
Tell us about that.
I tried and tried and tried and tried.
How long were you trying?
Probably about 4 months.
Okay.
And a lot of the times, I was going to viewings where people got like 2-3 properties themselves on the rent to rent, and they was just beating me because they had proof in the pudding, so it was quite difficult. But I actually bought my first deal.
Oh, from a deal source, sir.
Yeah.
You know, that's our number one rule not to do, but you did it, so it worked.
But it was, I used to say to landlords, like, how come you didn't go with me? They just said, there's another guy, another company who's doing the exact same thing as you, and they got 3-4 units. And it was sort of like the same story, and I was kicking myself about it. But once I set that property up, I actually secured my second one like 2 weeks later.
There you go, right?
Stone throw away. And it all came from just having that one property.
Yep.
Because the proof's in the pudding. And I sat down with him, showed him the listing, showed him my calendar, showed him who we're getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then straight away just got that. But he was actually moving abroad. He was living there himself. So we had to wait for his visa to get accepted. And then once he got accepted, we moved in. We still got the property now.
Amazing. And so what kind of turnover do your properties make? You've got 5 rent to rent, 3 management contracts. And so what's your total profit at the end of the month?
I'd say the 5 rent to rents, it could be anything from $6,000 to $8,000 a month.
Wow. Profit?
Profit.
Oh, my Lanta. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very good.
Wow.
Very chuffed.
Yeah. And then from your management?
The management. So with that client, we turned 3 flats into Airbnb properties. So we charged the staging fee, done a little bit of a discount. There was 1-bedroom flats and it was a whole unit. I charged £2,000 for the staging of that.
Wow.
And then we charge commission. So that's sort of projected around £700 a month profit just from that every
Great.
Month.
And so tell me about staging. So what does that entail?
Carnage. Organized carnage. So,
okay.
So it sort of comes down to sort of painting and all the sort of the maintenance work. So it could be broken lights, could be holes in walls, filling in walls, sanding them down, probably deep cleaning as well.
Mm.
And also like ordering the furniture and designing. I think design's the main thing. And organizing deliveries is probably the bane of everyone's life.
Oh man, right?
Yeah.
I was setting up a 7-bed rent-to-rent, one of Samuel's properties. And oh my gosh, the furniture was coming in from all directions.
Yeah.
Day in and day out, like it was, yeah, it was bonkers.
Never on time either.
No, no.
I order my stuff at least 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
And I would to my house and drive it there. But yeah. All the big stuff like sofas and beds, I book it in, I order it early and just delay it if I can, just so it gets there on time.
Yeah.
But it's time is money. Like if your nightly rate's £200, every day you're losing £200 basically. So you got to get it done fast.
I know. It's so true. As soon as you get the keys, the clock starts ticking. And you need to basically work 24 hours a day to get that property live, right?
Even if you got a rent-free period as well, 7 days.
Yeah.
If you could get it done in 4 days, you got 3 days extra, extra money. So the aim is just get it done quick.
Get it done quick. And one of my good friends, he got a rent-to-rent and he had that grace period, right? And he hadn't done anything for the first like 4 or 5 days. And I think he had 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm like, I drove from the Lake District down to Dorset.
Yeah.
And I forced him to just like stage it. I'm like, we went to his house, we grabbed blankets and everything and just like got the stuff, bought a bunch of stuff from the store and just snapped all these pictures.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
you can finish it later, but you need to get it live, right? So, wow, that's so cool. So what kind of new strategies are you bringing into your business?
So the new strategy is BRRs and flips.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a property which is out on the market at the moment. Up for sale, but unfortunately I can't sort of turn that into an Airbnb or HMO. I tried to turn it into Airbnb while there was tenants in there. It was an AST before. I put a dummy listing on there. I used photos from all my other Airbnb properties.
Yeah.
Request only. I had it up for 2 months. I got one request and they didn't even actually want the property. They wanted it in a different area. I was like, right, this is not going to work. So what I'm doing with that, I'm selling that. And then once we got the capital, we'll reinvest it into better property in a better area with a better strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If I refinance this property I've got now, I'll probably have to have a mortgage of £1,800 and the rent's £2,000 a month. So I'm broken tap away or whatever for not having any profit that month whatsoever.
Forget it.
So it just makes sense to start from scratch, get a new location and a better property that's got a strategy with a higher income.
Mm-hmm. So how do you learn all of this stuff though? I mean, I know you've had the academy there for you, but I mean, what was that like? Training and learning all of the different strategies and calculating all of the returns. Like, what was that like for you?
It's difficult for me personally because I'm dyslexic. So I struggle heavily like academically.
Yeah.
But it's more muscle memory now. You just do it without thinking.
Like, right.
I think when I look at a deal now, rather than just doing a spreadsheet or whatever, I can sort of know in the first 5 minutes if it's going to work or not. And we double check ourselves with the spreadsheet after. But rather than wasting time, if you know it's not going to be good enough, you don't do the spreadsheet anyway. That's because time's money. There's not enough hours in a day for us property investors either.
Did you lean on the mentors?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Oh, good.
Mainly just for double checking myself because at the start, you need some confirmation if you're doing something right or if something's going to work or not, just to get the ideal grasp.
Mm-hmm.
But also just the people around as well. Your fingertip from another academy member all the time, especially with the networking.
I know there's so many people.
Yeah, yeah.
So many people. And I know that when, you know, during your 2 years, we used to, I would check in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say, how's it going, Matt? What's going on? And you'd bring me up to date on what you were doing.
Mm.
And you were constantly involved in the academy. Like you were going to inner circles, networking dinners, Christmas parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to go into BRRs.
Mm.
And then what is like, what's your financial freedom, your ultimate financial freedom look like then?
So I remember being here at the event, I think Samuel tells you to write down your goal, like what you want to earn a month. I actually wrote down £8,000, funny enough, and I'm sort of at that now, which is great. But the goal now is to buy and own properties and replace that £8,000 from the rent to rent and management to actually my own properties that I own, just to be more secure. So that will bring me up to 16 grand. And obviously I'll still grow the SA and the management. We're looking to take on new clients now in management and employ some staff and family members or friends, et cetera, and grow that naturally. But the end goal for me is just own properties and just have as much freedom as I can. Obviously systemize it all as well, which will be great.
How would you systemize it? What would you do?
Channel managers, I think AI is coming in. I think I'm just starting to scratch the surface on that in a minute, which is all new to me. Virtual assistants or assistants and just hiring some staff, I think, will be the next goal for me next year.
Are you pretty involved in your management though? Like, is it you running around doing everything?
It's all me. Yeah. It's all me, yeah. I do some maintenance myself because I'm in a trade, or I was in a trade. But recently, I can't be everywhere at the same time. I think everyone needs a twin in property.
So true, right?
But I have to delegate a lot of things now.
Yeah,
just that's to be
the key.
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's what Tony Crook says that. He's like, you do everything and then you start stepping away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where can you step away? And then, because you have to work on your business, not in your business.
That's it.
Right? All of these like amazing, like key business, entrepreneurial, skill sets, right? That's what we all pick up here in the academy. And didn't you say that you wanted to run one of the inner circles?
Yeah, I
know.
I noticed there's not one in North London, which is not too far away from me.
So what, Hertfordshire? Is that
I go
the
to
closest
I go over Hertfordshire every now and then.
Yeah.
I think I'm booked on, where else am I booked on? I can't remember now. I lose track of calendars always full.
I know. So you know, we have 30 locations now.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? We launched 5 this week.
It's crazy.
Nuts. I know. It's crazy.
It's always growing.
Yeah. Okay, so what are the top 3 tips you'd give a new property entrepreneur who just wants to start learning and doing something and they don't have any cash?
No cash. I would get educated first, master your craft, and not just by learning by the books or the videos and the training, but actually doing as well. That definitely helped me. So I learned better actually doing things and making mistakes. Mm-hmm. The second is probably getting a power team together, your network as well. You can always rely on your network. Especially coming to events like this, if you've got no cash, you can always raise finances. Teenagers raising hundreds of thousands of pounds, which is quite impressive.
Yeah.
And the third is just getting a good deal. And if it's a service accommodation deal, keeping your cleaner is your golden key for everything.
I'm
quite fortunate with mine. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Goes the extra mile, but we also go the extra mile with her as well. Stuff like Christmas bonuses. And aww. I think we bought her a spa day at Christmas, which was good. But doing things like that as well, when even like your plumbers as well, helping them out, making their life easy, and ordering the parts for them, putting them there. Because once you're their client and you're easy, they're always going to be there. If it's something last minute, you need someone there in 4 hours. If it was some sort of stranger like plumber you don't really know or cleaner, they're not bothered to help you out there. And power team, the big team.
And when you say power team, what does that mean?
I'd say cleaners, even accountants as well.
I think
that's a hidden sort of. You need a good accountant.
Yeah.
Maintenance guys, that's plumbers, electricians, handymen. I think that's about it, really. That's all I use. The rest I sort of do myself.
Great. When you mentioned raising finance. Mm. So what does that mean? If somebody doesn't know, you know, who's just tuning in.
Yeah, it's for an investor who's got quite a large sum of money, or it could be a small sum. But they would want to sort of invest passively and not be hands-on with the project. So they can either lend you the money with an interest month, or you can go 50-50 in a partnership with a property. It's something I'm not really sort of scratched on yet, but I will be open to do so in the future.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your management contracts when you were running your own rent-to-rents? Did you advertise that, or did you just through networking?
Mr. Leeds. The famous portal. So the portal's got loads of contracts that you can use from all sorts of strategies across property.
Yeah.
And there was a management contract in there, which I use. I also use the service accommodation ones as well.
Yeah. But how did you find the people, the clients?
Oh, the clients.
Yeah.
So for the management properties that I found, I actually went on a BRR or a flip viewing in an area. And I was looking to sort of package that to sell to investor. The sale of my house hasn't come through yet. And I got talking to the agent there. He was like, what's your sort of your end goal of it? I was like, I have a sort of service accommodation or HMO. He was giving me this like long 10-minute pitch on service accommodation and how it is in it here, how it works. And I was like, I've actually got like quite a few units myself on that rent to rent. He was like, amazing. I've got a lady who's just kicked her tenants out. She's adamant she wants a company in there. So I met with her, but unfortunately it didn't sort of quite stack and for me to rent it. So I sort of pitched her on the idea of having it yourself and putting the money in for the furnishing, the staging. And I sent her over a spreadsheet what her returns be, and she was happy with it. And we things are going really well with those properties now.
That's great. And you know what I love about management is that you're always going to make money.
Yeah, that's
right. You're not even going to be red because you get a piece of the pie. Do you take a commission off of the total revenue or the profit?
The revenue on that.
The revenue, right. I know, because I do like coaching calls and people, and I have to ask them, well, what's your 15% on? They're like, profit. And I'm like, no, it's a revenue, right? Because if you're taking 15% off of zero profit, that's zero, right? And that's what other management companies do.
Yeah, of course.
What's your percentage?
Those are 15 because they're one bit flats.
Uh-huh.
So if it was like a large property and it was the nightly rate was like £400 a night, you can't really take 15% commission off that. It would just be ridiculous. But we sort of tailor it to the numbers of the property and the property type.
Yeah.
And we go from there.
Which do you prefer, rent to rent or management?
Rent to rent.
Rent to rent. Yeah. Why is that?
Mainly because it's yours. You can sort of customize it yourself, and you can like pick and choose who really comes in. You can also negotiate a bit better. I think with management, you've got to be a little bit conservative sometimes. Like for me personally, with my essays, I like to take a little bit of a gamble. So if I've got a free period, I set my minimum stay to like 7 nights and wait for the big booking. So I sort of mark it to that. But with management, I can have a conversation with the owner. Do you want me to be more conservative with getting bookings on here? Do you want me to take a gamble? Gambles do pay off quite well. So that's why I like my own properties. I can sort of gamble a little bit.
You're a little high risk, right?
Yeah, a little bit of high risk. Yeah. I quite enjoy it. It makes it, when a nice booking comes in or you get an inquiry, it feels a lot better.
Yeah. Well, this all sounds really easy, but was it easy?
No, definitely not.
Okay. So tell me some of the problems that you had and how you got over them.
Problems are, it's just...
All of a sudden your face dropped.
It could be anything. It could be from broken boilers. Like I've had 3 broken boilers in the space of a month.
But rent to rent, who would cover the broken boiler? The landlords.
But you've obviously got guests inside there, which is not great. And it was in Christmas time as well.
Oh, been there.
Yeah. And I was away on holiday. So So I was abroad trying to get plumbers to come out on Christmas and things like that.
Yeah.
But with the landlords that we use, we offer the quotation service as well. So we gather like 3 quotes and pitch them to the landlord, say, which one would you want to go for? We organize that for the landlord as well.
Wow, that's a really great service. Yeah.
You sort of pitch landlords on hands-off sort of rental. So I take that extra step to sort of get all the quotations in for them rather than seeking them myself, because it is quite painful sometimes getting quotes, as everyone knows.
Did you ever have an experience that was like absolutely awful and dreadful, but it ended up being like a benefit?
Not too bad. I think I've been quite lucky.
Yeah.
But apart from the boiler breaks and stuff like that, that's the main thing. Because especially in the winter, I think we had quite a harsh winter last winter as well. It was about 2 degrees, and like condensation comes in, and you got to repaint the property as well, and you got to relocate into another property. Luckily, you're quite blessed. I've got a few properties I can pass them over to myself.
Yeah.
In some cases, I had to pass them nearby, because thankfully my other properties are fully booked.
Yeah.
So it's highs and lows, really.
I've heard of other Academy members passing each other bookings,
Definitely.
Which I think is just amazing. Yeah, that's another benefit of being part of this culture.
Yeah,
this,
definitely.
This community, right? That's great. One time I got a call when I was on holiday in St. Lucia and the guest shows up and the cleaner drove off with the keys.
No way.
So there was no keys. Oh my gosh. I think I spent an hour back and forth with everybody trying to get these guests in. And and I was shocked that I could even like hear them, that I had transmission on my phone, because like if I had been on the boat like an hour later, then they would have been sitting outside fuming, right?
Yeah.
As I would be.
Well, I think I set up a property. So I finished the property on the Friday, let's say, and I flew out Friday night to go on holiday, but I still had the photographer to go around there. I still was waiting on the artwork to be delivered. And the Wi-Fi to be installed.
Oh, my Lanta.
So I got an Academy member to drive to my house to pick up the artwork.
Yeah.
To put it up for me, for the photographer to come around. A couple of days later, the Wi-Fi came and I had a guest coming in. So another Academy member went around for me, plugged all the Wi-Fi and got that working. So that was John Tang and Chris. So big thanks to them. But that's what the Academy's for. Everyone scratches each other's back.
It's so true. Which Chris?
Chris Clark.
Chris Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are 2 really great guys.
Yeah. Everyone in the Academy is good guys.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I remember one time on Monday Night Mastermind, Simona, do you know Simona? She's in Beaconsfield and she had just filmed a tour with Samuel. And then literally like the week later after it's been filmed, before it was even released, she had this huge party and it was so much damage. And she was quite upset on Monday Night Mastermind. And so many people were messaging in the chat saying, I'll come and help you. I'll sort it out for you. And I was just like so touched by everybody's
that's what
concern.
It's about, isn't it? Giving
it
back.
Is, I know. So let's talk about listings. So what would you say is the most important part about a listing? Because you just need the click, right? You need the booking from the listing.
I would say it all starts with the design of the property. You got to make it look popping. So if it's sort of dull colors, like grays, whites and blacks and things like that, it don't really sort of stand out. Mm-hmm. So most properties, they've either got gray beds, gray sofas, things like that. But I like sort of bold colors, something that you've probably seen on an IKEA sort of showroom or something similar to that, or Pinterest, or got to make it look Instagrammable or pictureable. So sort of bold colors, but you don't want to go too bold. You want to still make it look homely as well. Mm-hmm. And you have like your boldest photo sort of stand out. And just sort of in my listings, in my title, I say who I target for. So contractors, relocators, and families. So one of those three, when they're clicking away, like, oh, that's me, I'm a contractor, I'll click on this one.
Yeah.
So they sort of know that, sort of tailor to that sort of clientele. They sort of know what they're getting.
Mm. Some people ask about, should I put a hot tub in, Patricia? And now with my hot tub experience, I'm like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Any things that people should stay away from?
I've got a dartboard in mine, in one of mine. Yeah.
So should they stay away from it? Or
no, I think it's good. There's a few holes in the walls, obviously, but it's nothing a bit of polyfiller and paint can do.
That's true. But
especially for like a contractor heavy property. Yeah. Like, it's just, it looks good in photos and it's just something to do. Like, you know, I used to work away as well. And it gets quite boring sometimes being away from home. So little things like that. I've got a Pac-Man machine in my garage.
Oh, nice.
For my next SA. I've got two or three SAs in the pipeline this month.
Yep.
So I'll be putting a Pac-Man machine in one of those. Just again, good for photos.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive. Yeah, I mean, dartboard's nothing, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to like a pool table where you're constantly replacing cues and all sorts of stuff. So that's a good tip.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
What's your worst guest?
Probably a guest not leaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably.
What do you do then? So tell me about that.
So it's like a hotel. If you're in a hotel and check out at 11 o'clock and you're still in bed, you're going to get a knock on the door from the security team, which and they just ask you to leave. And in this case, you are the security team yourself.
You're the security.
Yeah, so you have to just give a knock on the door and just usher them out the door and tell them they got to go. But apart from that, it's normally just untidiness. I would say leaving like pots and pans everywhere, or putting bins in the wrong bins and in the council don't collect it. We've got things in place for that. So we've got like a guest agreement as well. We take deposits off the guests and we make sure that if they leave pots and pans out, it's an extra charge.
So
we obviously give that to the cleaner as well, because you want to keep the cleaner happy.
Yeah.
And then things with like the council tax bins. If it's in the wrong stuff, you've got to pay for private removals. So that's quite expensive.
Yeah.
So so we remove the deposit off them, pay for the bin waste collection.
Do they ever like squawk about that, or is it
not really? Because I think especially if it's contractors as well, they can sort of see our point. But I think occasionally they complain about it. But you've got to say to, especially like with the cleaners as well. If the cleaners booked in for an hour, and they've got to spend an extra 30 minutes cleaning up pots and pans and things like that. Cleaner's late for her job and she might have to cancel their job. So you've got to pay them extra because they're losing the sort of a job's money on that day. So once you explain it to them, I think they understand a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. So for somebody who's starting off, what would they do if there was damage that they found and they didn't grab a deposit, right? So sometimes on Airbnb, there's no deposit.
Yeah.
Would you say that we always need to have a deposit?
You don't have to, because I get a large portion of my bookings direct. So I don't have Airbnb or booking.com in the mix there, but I've got like a private deposit system. So I just sort of withdraw the deposit, whatever's needed. But in the messages that when they do stay, I make sure they know that we will withdraw the deposit if these standards are not sort of met on checkout, which I think they fully understand. 9 times out of 10, they're fully aware of it and go the extra mile or clearing up or putting the bins in the right way.
Mm. So how has your experience been in the academy?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great.
What's your favorite part?
Oh,
the coaching calls for me.
Yeah, that we're getting paid. We're getting paid. No, it's just everything. It's probably the motivation. Like, I think some days it can be really, really bad for property investors.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like some, or even like some months, it just feels like all the chips are down, everything's fighting against you.
Yeah.
When you jump on like the the Zoom call and like the Monday nights, and you see all these people winning, or even people worse off, or had a worse month than you, and then all of a sudden they bounce back to the following month. This gives you a kick up the arse, which everyone needs, and gets your mindset sort of fixed.
We do. What does Samuel call it? Positive motivation? Positive peer pressure?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I do like getting a kick up my ass. I like it.
Me too.
Yeah, I like it brutal.
Yeah. Well, great, Matt. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they find Matt Watson?
Yeah, so if you go on Instagram, search in Matt Watson Official, I'll be there.
Matt Watson Official.
Also got a website as well, which is MJW Property Group.
MJW Property Group.
Yeah, it's on the hat.
Look I see your up. Swag. Very nice. It. Are you staying for the dinner tonight?
Yeah, I'll be here for the dinner.
Nice. How fun is the dinner?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh my gosh. And when was the last time you came to a dinner?
It was last month.
Okay, so you were here last month.
Yeah.
It was bonkers, wasn't it?
Yeah, the SAS guy.
It was like, the SAS guy.
Yeah, it was great. You feel like a little boy again, listening to all his stories.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But it's so great to be around motivational people and that kind of energy, right? Especially like you were saying earlier about sort of, you know, when you're feeling down and, you know, nothing's working out. And then you just sort of sit in a room with all these people. And it is good to talk about the struggles, right? Because it's not easy. Trust me. I know. Yeah. It is hard work. So just letting people know that it is going to be hard, but you are going to get through it because you've got all the support in the world here in the Academy, right?
Yeah, of course.
But you got to ask for help. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
You got to ask for help. Always. You got to reach out. Well, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Matt. If you want to learn more about property, come down to a 1 pound crash course. They're all over the country. Just come on to samuelleads.com and you can see all of the different tour dates. They're everywhere and they're amazing. It all starts at the crash course, right?
That's it.
Yeah. And if you liked this segment, then please give us some love, subscribe, share, comment, and we can't wait to see you next time. Take care.